Turn your Bibles tonight to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Last week we closed out John chapter 3 and we talked about the testimony of John the Baptist. It was his last testimony that we have recorded in the Word before he went into prison. And the big issue here is that John the Baptist was an Old Testament prophet in that sense. Christ is bringing the New Testament. So there's a transition here. And so in verses 22 to 24, in way of review, we see the timing of the transition. John the Baptist is baptizing, and Jesus and his ministry were baptizing, although Jesus was not baptizing himself. So there's an overlap in action. There was an overlap in proximity because they were near each other. And there was the opportunity for overlap is because John was not yet cast into prison. In verses 25 through 29, we see the test in transition. There was debate. There was debate between John's disciples and the Jews over how to get pure. Morally pure. Not ceremonially pure, but morally pure. There was dissension. Well, Jesus is having more disciples than he's baptizing more people than John. John says he must increase and I must decrease. And there was a determination of John the Baptist, verses 27 through 29. He says, I am the bridegroom. He says, I am basically the friend of the bridegroom, okay? And he says, I'm preparing all this. I'm the best man. I'm preparing all this thing. Christ is here now. He is the bride. He is the bridegroom of the church. I know I'm having trouble. Okay, I will slow down. Verses 30 through 36, we see the truths of transition. Verse 30, we see the superiority of Christ. He's above all things. We see the substance of Christ's superiority. Christ had an earthly origin, verse 31. Christ knew what was true from first-hand experience, verse 32. Christ's testimony always agreed with God. In verse 33, and then Christ experienced the Holy Spirit in an unlimited manner, unlike the Old Testament prophets. And in verse 34, Christ is superior because the Father's sovereignty had granted him that status to him in verse 35. And then Christ can only provide eternal life, verse 36. And then we went and we said the sharing of this transition, there was still overlap because Apollos. We see in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 26, we see that Apollos was actually preaching the baptism of John, and that Priscilla and Aquila told them the more perfect way about Jesus. So there's this transition here. So now we're going to go through a very familiar passage. We're going to go through chapter 4, verses 1 through 26, and the title of my sermon tonight is A Chance for Ministry. And the big issue is that we should never pass up a chance for ministry. So tonight there's 4 points about ministry. In verses 1 through 4, we see that if we're active in ministry, that should lead to more ministry. Our ministry should grow and not contract. So in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, it says this: When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So, the first encounter that we have of Christ in Judea is with Nicodemus. Then we have an encounter in the end of chapter 3 out on the Jordan, on the fords of the Jordan River where he was baptizing. It says, now, and he must needs go through Samaria. So, let's talk about it from a map perspective. Here's Judea, here's Galilee. He wants to go to Galilee. Obviously, the shortest distance between two points is the straight line through Samaria. Now, Samaria were half-breeds. When the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians brought in their people into the northern kingdom, into this region, and they intermarried. So they weren't pure Jew and they weren't pure Assyrian. So they were a combination of both of them. They were despised by the Jews. So when a Jew had to go to Galilee, he never went through Samaria. Is there parts of town that you won't go through? Okay? There's parts of town you'll go through. Now, if you go through just because of the color of their skin or something like that, that's wrong. If you go through because of a safety issue, that's a different matter. But here, this is a prejudice problem. And so what they would do is they would cross over the Jordan River, go up through here, and then go into Galilee that way. But Jesus says, but the issue here is this. He must what? He must needs go through Samaria. So, there's 2 points here. The first one is in verse 1. When the Lord knew. Okay? So all this issue about going into Galilee is because Christ knew. Christ knew what the plan was. The plan for Christ was to do what? To go to the cross. The Pharisees, which are predominantly where? In Jerusalem, had heard that he was now he's the bigger threat. Jesus is now the bigger threat than John the Baptist. It is not Christ's time yet. So he's going to go to Galilee and do other things. God's leading him. Okay? In verses 3 and 4, we know which way he goes by the Lord's direction. But the key here, and he must needs go through Samaria. The word for must needs is a single word. Means he's compelled. He has to do it. There is no other option. This is the way it has to be. Remember when he was going to Jerusalem and he set his face like a flint? The same thing here. Christ knew what was going on. He knew the political nature of the whole thing. He knew the timing of everything else. And he's following God. And this is going to allow him to go to Galilee and have ministry up there. But at the same time, on the way, he's going to meet this person. There's going to be another opportunity for ministry. So ministry leads to more ministry when we walk in the knowledge of God, when we go to places that God wants us to go. You know, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again with the same people and you never branch out, what will expand? Nothing. Nothing will expand. So there has to be a difference. Now, if we are active in church ministry, ministry will lead to meeting people. Ministry will lead to meeting people. In verses 5 through 9, it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. It's also known as Shechem. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, in chapter 12, it's also known as Sychem. All the same place. Near to a parcel of ground where that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about noon. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Now, in the chapter previous, in chapter 3, we see the meeting of Nicodemus. That was done without the disciples around there, right? Here's a one-on-one meeting. Here's another one-on-one meeting between Jesus and this woman. So there are several things that we need to understand here. This woman, just like our ministry, meets people that are caught between two choices. Now, there's some interesting things about the geography here. Here is a map of the Middle East. Here is where Jacob's well is. I'll make it bigger so you can see. This wasn't an eye test. Notice that Jacob's well is between two mountains. Mount what? Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. There is spiritual significance in these two mountains. This well was exactly halfway between the two. Oh, by the way, in Genesis chapter 12, this is where Abraham built his first altar. Now, we'll say, okay, so what? Here's the point. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 29, it says this. quite, the Lord is speaking to Moses. And he's speaking to the people. He says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you to this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. The Samaritans knew the Old Testament, but they worshipped the wrong way. They knew God, but they didn't know God. That makes sense? And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, thou shalt put the blessing on Mount what? Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. And so this, well, come on, work. So this meeting happens between the place of blessing and the place of curse. You think there's any insignificance to that? No, there's always significance. But where Christ goes, what time it happens, who he meets, all this thing, it's by design. All this history is by design, so people would understand this stuff. So, here is a person who's right in the middle between blessing and a curse, and having to make a choice. Because she's going to have a choice to make here in a second. So that is what is in verse 5. Comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Okay? Now, ministry leads to meeting people who are brought together by circumstance. Why is Jesus there? He's thirsty. Why did the woman go there? She's thirsty. She needs to get water. It's a common goal. It's a common thing. It says, Jesus, it was the sixth hour, there cometh a woman in Samaria to draw water. Okay? And Jesus said, give me to drink. Now, let's think about this. Water. Nicodemus again? Unless you're born by the water. Water and the Spirit, you cannot see God. You got to be born again. There's going to be some incredible questions here in a minute. Same type of thing. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that what? Thirsty, come ye to the water. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. John 7:37. We'll get there. And in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. And drink. So, this woman is between two choices, blessing or curse. She's there for the same reason Jesus is there for right now. They're both what? Thirsty. It's a physical thirst, but now it's going to turn into a spiritual thirst. Now, the other part of this thing, ministry leads to braiding people who are brought together by circumstance who can have a conversation. You know, you could go and you could try to walk down, go out on a busy street corner and ask someone, do you know if you die today you go to heaven? Or is that something you'll say? And then, what? Gone. You could sit there and walk alongside of them on the street and they say, what, are you stalking me? This meeting with Nicodemus was what? One-on-one. This meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman was one-on-one. Why? Because the disciples had gone away from meat. See, ministry puts you in the right place with the right people at the right time to do the right thing. Can't you see the hand of God here? Why? Because our relationship with Christ is an individual relationship. It's not a church membership. It's not a member of a group. It's not a member of being a family and not being part of a country. It's one-on-one. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now and let us what? Reason together. saith the Lord. There's going to be a lot of reasoning here in the next couple of verses. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, ministry leads to what? More ministry. Ministry leads to what? Meeting people. If your ministry doesn't involve eventually getting working with people, what's our purpose? Spread the gospel, right? If it's not about Jesus is showing that to other people, it's not really ministry. Number three, ministry leads to the message. Ministry leads to the message. In John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. So here's the conversation. Then saith, what did Jesus say?
Give me a drink.
I want some water. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Their prejudice for each other was deep-rooted. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and would have given thee living water. Now, what did Nicodemus say? We know that you're a teacher come from God. And what did Jesus respond? He must be born again. Didn't get into some sort of theological discussion. Didn't go into how good the Pharisees were. It says, you got to be born again. What does Jesus say here? If you knew the gift that I can give you, you wouldn't be talking about water. The woman said unto him, sir, hast thou nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou living water? Wait, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? No, God gave them the well. And the well master is standing right in front of them. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. See, ministry leads to the message in verse 9 that all need to hear. You can't have faith with respect to persons. You exercise faith to the people that look like you and the ones that don't look like you. You exercise faith and ministry to those who you like to be around and those who you don't want to be around. Everybody needs salvation. Everybody needs to be ministered. As ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto what? All men. All men. These people need to hear. The Samaritans needed to hear too. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 12 through 13. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Hey, that's talking about the Gentiles, but it's also talking about the Samaritans. And without God in the world. But now is Jesus Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes what? Were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. She's having a one-on-one private meeting with the creator of the universe, the savior of the world. Ministry leads to the message that all need to hear. Ministry needs the message that all need to receive. In verse 10, it says here, if thou knewest the what? The gift of God. For God so what? Loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, look, you need this gift. You need this gift. Everybody needs it. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So even so, by the righteousness of one, Christ, remember this is a one-on-one meeting? It's a one-on-one relationship. The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What did he say here? Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given unto thee what? Living water. Living water. Now, ministry needs to the message, lastly, in verses 11 and 12, that all need to understand. There's a lot of weird ideas about who God is out there. Those people need to get the truth. There's a lot of people out there have all sorts of weird ideas about what salvation is all about. They need to get the truth. There's a whole lot of people out there understanding, thinking about they're right and everybody else is wrong. They need to understand the truth. So it says here, say, how can you give me this living water? You have no bucket. So he says, how can you get water without a bucket? It makes no sense to me. Verse 12, who do you think you are? Really, think about it. Art thou what? Greater than our father, Jacob? He made Jacob. He met Jacob. Christ was alive when Jacob was alive. It's the same thing he says, before Abraham was, I am. So ministry leads to the message that all need to hear, that all need to receive, and that all need to understand. So now as we go to the fourth point, ministry removes misunderstandings. Ministry removes misunderstandings. In verses 13 through 15, it removes a misunderstanding about the real need in life. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall what? Thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. You never want anything else for eternity. But the water that I shall give him shall be to him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water so I don't have to come back to the well anymore. Because we all want everything to be easy for us, right? We all think in the finite. We all think in the physical. We don't think in the spiritual because they have to be spiritually discerned. This woman did need water. She needed Christ. There's people out there dying for spiritual thirst. Blessed are ye who do what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. So ministry removes misunderstanding about the real need in life. Now some of us would start talking to people and they say this thing, we just kind of walk off. Jesus didn't do that. He had compassion on her. He says, you need to understand the truth because the truth will set you free. Now, before I get to the second point, I want to take you back to Proverbs. Proverbs 21, verse 2 says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. There's not two Lords in there. Okay? So, ministry removes misunderstanding about the real need in life. It removes misunderstanding about the way you are living. Tonight, we encountered a situation. Someone who says they know God and starts preaching the Word of God and they're in so much sin, it's ridiculous. This woman thinks she knows who Jacob is, thinks she knows who God is, but her lifestyle is not showing it. There are Christians out there that are not doing what God tells them to do in His Word. They're not living by faith. They're not living by the Spirit. They're joined to the world. And who's going to be friends of the world is the enemy of God. So in verses 16 through 19, this woman's pondering's not there. Still thinking about physical water. Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Uh-oh. These two people never met before. She never seen him before. Now, she says, oh, you're not married. Look at the next verse. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly.
Ouch.
See, we have a misunderstanding that we're better than who we think we are. That it's okay for what I'm doing. But we got to live by God's standard, folks. Now, but here's the point. Christ is talking to an outcast that no one would ever talk to. Christ is talking to someone who is in such a habit of sin that no one would just say, done. But Christ can save to the what? Uttermost. There's no sin that he can't forgive except unbelief. So now, the Samaritan woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Because she knew that the only way that Jesus would know this is if God told her. So Christ says, okay, I can give you the gift of eternal life. You need that gift. You need that more than this water here. Okay? There's the need that everybody needs. Okay? The way you're living right now needs a change in direction. It needs a change in direction. But I'm still talking to you. And you know something? When you start talking about deep things, all of a sudden it turns to religion, doesn't it? Get in a conversation with your friends and eventually if you keep on talking long enough, religion will come up. Ministry removes misunderstandings about the way you worship. Nicodemus, you're doing it all wrong because you're doing it by ritual and you're doing it by the law. This woman, you're doing it all wrong because you're not living right. And you're thinking that your heritage from Jacob and some of your knowledge of the Old Testament is good enough to get you there. Both wrong. Both wrong. Verses 20 through 24. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. How dare you talk about, we're here where Abraham made his altar. We're here where Jacob dug a well. And ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. They knew that God, when he brought the people out of Egypt, was going to name a city that he was going to set his name there. But the Samaritans didn't believe it. They didn't know God. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. Isn't that what it's really all about? He believed every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the what? Mouth of God. Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Absolutely true. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to him gave him power to become the sons of God. But the hour cometh, and now is. What is that hour? That hour is Christ's crucifixion on the cross. That's the purpose. When the true worshipers, not the Nicodemuses of the world that's trying to do it by religion, not you all that make up your own religion, and think because you have some sort of heritage it's going to work out for you, shall worship this Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, so let's talk about this real quick. The way you worship is not on the songs you sing. It's not how you dress. It's not where you go. It's what you feel down here. This is the spirit of man here. Your heart has to be in it. There's a lot of people just going through the ritual or the rote of worship. And it's not getting them anywhere. because it's not down here. There's a choice to make. She was between blessing and cursing. She needed to make a choice down here. And oh, by the way, to show God is worthy, which is what worship is all about, you need to understand the truth of God. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. You need to know who God is for true. The Samaritans didn't. They didn't know, she needed to know who was standing in front of them. She didn't yet. She called Him a what? A prophet. Nicodemus said, "You're a teacher." Others say, "You got to be someone from God," but then there's others that say He's doing all these miracles by the power of Satan. No. God's a spirit, and you need to worship Him His way. You got to worship Him with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And you need to do it in truth. There's a lot of people out there with fake worship. They say they know God, but they don't. That's fake. They're not doing the truth. They say they know God, but they're just doing it from rote. They're doing it from rote. It's not for truth. Ministry removes misunderstanding about what your real need is, about the way yet you are living, and it's not right. For all I've sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, none that understand, no, not one. And about the way you worship. And then our ministry here in this church and your ministry as a Christian should basically remove all doubt about who Jesus is. Verse 25, the woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh. There's a lot of people know about the Old Testament, about the Bible. She knew that Christ was coming. Okay? Which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. Ding! That should have rang a bell. He just told her, you're not, the man you're living with is not your husband. You've been married 5 times. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Ministry should reveal who Christ really is. Take away all doubt. Gets rid of all misunderstandings. So we're going to leave you cliffhanging here. Next week we'll see what else happens. So we'll go through verses 27 through 42 about what the end of this meeting is and what happens. But my question tonight as we close is ministry a part of your life? Have you accepted the ministry of Christ on the cross for your salvation? Have you asked Him to save you? And then, are you acting saved? If you're acting saved, you're going to be ministering to others, because that's what God's Word says. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask people this time of invitation. Father, someone here does not know You as Savior. Lord, I just pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to want to minister more. Help us, Lord, to meet people, Lord, and to see opportunities. Father, help us, Lord, to share the message, Lord, and to clear up all the misunderstandings that's out there today. Lord, we just give You this time. We just ask that You just change us, make us more like You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.